Hello, Tiger Nation. I am Byron Hulsey, headmaster at Woodbury Forest School, and I would like to welcome you to the Woodbury podcast series. This podcast consists of informal yet substantive conversations with alumni, faculty, staff, and students. The conversations explore how Woodbury's core values empowered alumni to build a solid foundation for their lives, how those core values are taught today by Woodbury teachers, and how those values are put into practice by today's students. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Woodbury Podcast. Today, we're joined by a recent alumnus, Morgan Jay, who graduated from the Tiger Nation just several weeks ago. And Morgan came to Woodbury from Alexandria. He's on his way to Harvard next year, and I thought it would be fun to visit with Morgan a little bit about his Woodbury experience, the transition to his next step as he prepares to make the Ivies great again. I've been looking forward, Morgan, to this conversation for quite a while, so grateful you're here. I should say for the record that we're now kind of at the very end of June, and the only reason Morgan's on campus is because he's a Woodbury employee working for the Woodbury Forest Sports Camp. Where he might have a little bit more appreciation for the hard work that his teachers committed here at the school now that he's been a camp counselor responsible for these little hellions running around the campus these days. But anyway, Morgan, I'll let you speak for yourself. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So tell us a little bit about sports camp. What's been going on these last couple of weeks on campus with the boys who make fun here in the Tiger Nation in the summer months?
Well, I'm on Team LSU, and we've been doing pretty well, at least athletically. Behaviorally, we're working to be quiet during rest period. I've lost my voice twice, but it's back now, luckily for the podcast.
Yeah.
Today, we're starting championships.
Wow, so, already?
Yeah. So this morning, we played softball, which is our worst sport, so tough way to start the day. But this afternoon, we play floor hockey against UVA, and then at night, we're going to play basketball against Texas. So hoping to pull out two wins in advance a little bit.
Yeah. Have you been whistled for any technical fouls as a coach yet in sports camp?
Actually, I have not been, but my assistant coach, Keandre, was ejected as a joke from the basketball game.
Okay, but that was a joke.
You know, I mean, his friend was reffing.
Of all the sports camp counselors, which one is the most argumentative with the refs?
Don't mean to throw him under the bus. Love the guy, but Davis Hathaway definitely.
Still, he was last year too. He promised me he was going to try to do better, but he's still argumentative.
He's got some commentary for sure.
Yeah, he has his opinion, huh?
Yep, and he sticks to it, which I respect. So,
well, that's great. So, sports camp going well?
It's good.
I guess yesterday you guys were at King's Dominion.
Yeah, it was actually really fun. There was no lines at all because it was so hot.
Yeah.
The downside was we're baking pretty much.
Yeah, I'd rather gargle a glass of dirt than go to King's Dominion when it's 99 degrees. But glad you guys had fun. So you came to Woodbury your third form year, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes, sir.
From Alexandria. Mm-hmm. How'd you choose it?
My parents had been eyeing boarding school for a while because I think they felt that I wasn't like reaching my full potential at day school, where I'd kind of just come home, do my homework pretty quickly, and then just hang out with friends or not really do that much, honestly. And so they eyed boarding school for a while. They wanted me to kind of step out of my comfort zone. And my mom describes it as this. I didn't know this was her plan, but she later told me, she was like, I wanted you to go see Woodbury as a prep for like some northern boarding school. Hmm. So I said, great, okay, we'll go visit Woodbury. My granddad and my aunt had both gone to Episcopal, so I was familiar with Woodbury. I'd seen all the cups in my granddad's house, like the game. So I came down here. I think Anthony Kojo was my first tour guide.
Yeah.
Then I came back for a second tour, and both times my parents were so impressed, I was so impressed, that when it came time to make my decision, it was between here and St. Andrews.
In Delaware. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So on the last day that I had to make the decision, I think it was May 1st or whatever,
right,
I hadn't decided. It was between there and there. And I was kind of just waiting to see what my gut was at the last minute. And my parents were kind of trying to give me space. And I got a call from, I guess St. George's was in the mix too. St. George's guy called me and he said, make sure you have your decision in by the end of the day. And pretty much hung up after that.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Stowers called me and said, what questions do you have? Do you want a few more days? How can we help you out? And I said, I think this choice is pretty clear.
So Mr. Stowers deserves the credit at the end of the day, giving you the space you needed to make a good decision.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's great. So tell us about the transition to Woodbury. What was that like for you?
At the start, I think I probably was a little bit cocky.
Wait a minute. You think you were a little cocky?
And maybe, I guess what you're going to follow up is, oh, Morgan, you're still so cocky, but definitely
No, I'm not going to say
I'm
that.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I was definitely energetic and a little bit of a rule bender. I know Charles Ennis would tell you this, who was my prefect freshman year. He would come out of his room at 11 to notice us all like tiptoeing to the bathroom with a speaker to have like a dance party. We would call them Huber parties sometimes if he was on duty. So we were definitely troublemakers, myself included.
Tell us more about your new boy year. So that's a little bit about the kind of the social side, what it was like being on Turner, lower Turner, right? What else do you remember from that first cycle at Woodbury?
I remember definitely the academic step up. When I got my first Latin test back from Mr. Brewster, I think I got like a D minus, and I was like, dang, this is pretty legit. I didn't think I needed to study for this at all. And Payne McCauley, big credit to him, he started to show me how to study in that class because, I mean, the tests are usually kind of a similar format. So slowly, especially in that class, but in other classes too, I was figuring out how to do work on my own.
Yeah.
I feel like at Woodbury, the seniors who you look up to, a lot of them are just good guys, and they get, like, elevated for that. And in my old school, that hadn't been the case. It was, like, you had to be, quote-unquote, popular or whatever. And so that was, I think I definitely lived more for that than what, like, the Woodbury seniors that year showed me how to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you were kind of angling for attention and popularity when what you learned over time was what you really needed to do is just be a good guy. Is that
exactly right, yeah.
Uh-huh. You had American history with the headmaster your second year, your fourth form year. What was that like?
That was, again, another academic step up. I remember freshman year, like, after the Latin hurdle, I felt like, okay, I'm cruising now. This is good.
Yeah.
Halfway through the winter, I'd figured out my system. I was good.
Yeah.
And then I got there, and all of a sudden, I had this guy, you know, this teacher who could just have a verbal quiz at any time.
Yeah.
And who didn't like it when I had sentences that would go on for like a whole paragraph and didn't get to the point. And so all of a sudden, my theory of how brilliant I was shot down.
Well, you're a great student and you did very well in American history. I hope you would say you got challenged, though. Is that the case?
For sure.
You definitely, I remember, did well in American history. You did well academically. But you weren't totally sure you were happy here, were you?
No, sir. I think in the fall, I was still kind of like struggling or moving around in who I wanted to be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was some motion there and some like a source of worry for me. And then in the winter also, I broke my knee or I fell and bruised my like patella on winter break.
Uh-huh.
And so I couldn't run track all winter and pretty much all spring. And that kind of led to, more stress as well, because every day I just had to go back to my room or swim in the morning when the pool was fully open. And so it was just like compromised sleep or sit inside pretty much all day while it's cold. So that definitely was tough. And then the spring was where I started to, late winter and spring, Rylan Neal and Charlie Matthews and Ben Stein and I made a fort down at the river. And that was when I started to kind of blossom a little bit and start to realize that I did want to be here. Because before that, and this is a little bit what I talked about in my senior speech,
mm-hmm.
was the day-to-day just seemed terrible to me. I mean, I would go to class. The classes were harder than anything I'd done before.
Right.
I'd go check in at practice and then come back up the hill and feel left out because I couldn't run. In the spring, as things got better, I started to realize, like, this is the place where I actually can dig in.
And so fifth form year, you felt a sense of belonging that helped you, and you got into a routine and a rhythm where the place started to hum for you. Is that right?
Junior year, I solidified who my friends were. I mean, like, Charlie and Ben are still two of my best friends to date. We also started to, like, use the river a lot more. And I credit Mr. O'Donnell a lot because they all said to me, come on the fly fishing expedition. Come on, like, you don't have to know. And so I went, and I was terrible. But then after that, Mr. O'Donnell let me borrow a fly rod from the school. And so all of a sudden, I had, like, another hobby that I was forming memories in, which I was forming memories with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
We created another fort called Liberty Hill, or we inherited that. And so we would go down there a bunch, and mm-hmm. That was a lot of good memories there, and I kind of started to find my place here.
In your senior speech, I'm remembering cross-country coach Ben Hale, Mr. Hale, called you out.
He did.
And can you walk us through that dynamic and the message that he conveyed that did, it seems to me, register with you?
Yeah. So, I mean, as I talked about a little bit with my freshman year, I mean, I like to tell jokes. I'm like a comedian, I guess.
Yeah.
So I would come to practice every day, and I never knew when to turn it off. And that was a problem in the classroom and at practice. So when he would be talking, I'd be doing an impression. Or that whole year, I'd struggled with turning, or I guess as Mr. Hale calls it, learning when to flip the switch. He just wouldn't have it. He would just like send me out of practice or have me wait outside or do whatever he needed to. He would call me to his classroom countless times. And I mean, anyone who's had Mr. Hale for a sport or for class knows when you get the text, come see me, that's scary. So you go see him, and he would always like drive it home, flip the switch, flip the switch, flip the switch. I like to be funny as much as the next guy, but you can't do it when you're trying to do something legit. Junior year, I was better about that, and that's just been a continuous progression of knowing when to be funny, when to be serious.
It's not always easy to know when to flip the switch. I totally get that. I make mistakes to this day in that area. On the positive side, sharing humor and making a joke and laughing at yourself can be a great way to make other people feel comfortable. If the timing's not good, it's not mm-hmm. good. And it's yeah. not always easy to know exactly when that time is. Has that been your experience too?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I heard a rumor that this year in cross country, because you ran cross country with him for 4 years, I believe, you guys would be stretching and he'd come down to practice and you'd say, "All rise." Is there any truth to that rumor, Morgan?
That's true.
Yeah.
I tried it on Mr. Stowers at the head counselor's meeting the other day.
Yeah?
You got to just say, "All rise," and if everyone's in, then whenever the judge, whoever it may be, walks in, they get a real treat.
Yeah, that's a good one. So what was your sixth form year like? You've wrapped that up, received your diploma. Tell us about your sixth form year.
I mean, I could actually talk about it for 40 minutes more. I guess it was the culmination in a lot of things, different like ends that I hadn't tied up. Like I said, I was kind of growing towards leaders who I'd had before, like Charles Innes, mm-hmm. Ben, your son, leaders from those years ahead, Conwell, my prefects before, had shown me kind of that you can be funny, you can do all these things, but you can also be serious and help guys out. So my sixth former year was a culmination of that, because I got to live on Lower Dowd Finch and be a prefect there, which was really tough at some times, but also very rewarding.
For the audience, share with folks why Dowd Finch can be a tough place to be.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic because downstairs you have juniors and then the top two floors are freshmen. And so they share the same common spaces and stuff. All the freshmen have a 10:30 p.m. lights out, while all the juniors go to bed at 11 or sometimes later.
Yeah.
So it can just be loud. It can be tough to manage the like different expectations from both of those groups.
And some boys may be homesick and other guys are just as well, you know, comfortable as they can be here. And
exactly.
Yeah. What else would you say about your sixth form year?
I learned with Mr. Hale a lot about running. And so I had a season that I honestly don't know how well it went, or like, I don't know how it went so well, just since it was busy with college apps and all this stuff. And somehow with Mr. Hale's training, I kept PRing. And so I'm really grateful to him for that. So that also felt like a culmination of 2 years ago I was injured, I couldn't run, and now I'm lucky to be able to run at states and preps and do all this stuff, and that was a really cool experience also. I guess one other piece that I think about that has changed me while I've been at Woodbury was freshman year at the end, I decided to take Spanish really just because I wanted a sixth class. And so coming back in the summer before sixth form year, I went on the Woodbury and Spain trip with Mr. Collier and Mr. Handelsman. And that was kind of the culmination of Spanish, as was my class with Mr. Rivera this year, where I found out that that's something I really love. And coming here, I didn't speak a lick of Spanish, and now I'm pretty good. So that's another thing that I guess the sixth form year was, I got to continue to explore that passion.
Tell us a little bit about the college admissions process. Mentioned to the audience that you're going to Harvard. That was not an easy decision for you. You applied to a number of colleges. You were admitted to a number of places. What was that process like for you, and how did you manage the stress of it all? And then tell us a little bit about how you made your decision.
I guess at the start of it, I could just say I didn't manage the stress well. With writing, I've realized now that when you want to write something good, a good essay, you need sleep and to like take time away from it. But I hadn't realized that at the start, and so I would just kind of stare at the screen and then wake up earlier to stare at the screen more and try to write some more, make the essay this perfect, shining, glowing thing that would get me admitted to whatever college I wanted. So I applied for some scholarships and stuff like that at UNC, and that was the toughest thing was I was like, I really want this. I really want this. Just work harder, harder. That didn't really work out with writing. That's kind of not how it goes. You can't just keep staring at it.
You can't will the computer to come to life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Start, I didn't manage my stress well. But as I went on, I got a lot of help from Dr. Bosin. He would talk to me. He's my advisor.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, just submit it, relax, and have other people read it. You don't need to take this all on yourself and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to get better about that and start to work overtime rather than just staring at something and trying to make it happen quickly. I think it was probably my essay that got me into Harvard. I mean, I don't think there's anything like crazy or remarkable otherwise. But I wrote it about Woodbury. The idea came from Sam Ligon, who is this guy who is our visiting author for this year in Mr. Hale's creative writing class.
He inspired the essay that you wrote for Harvard. Tell us more about that.
So, I mean, after all this like writing stuff, I was like, I got to get this better. I got to get this better. And so one day I had to meet with him about just my English story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, do you have 15 minutes after just to talk about my college essay?
Mm-hmm.
And I showed him one of the essays that I was submitting to the Moorhead Scholarship at UNC. And mm-hmm. I was like, I've worked a lot on this. Like, tell me this is good, right? And he's like, well, it's kind of boring. I mean, you got to be a little bit more vulnerable here. And I told him, and I had told him before about my like history with Ann Pancake and how I was all a smart-ass sophomore year, still kind of am, but mm-hmm. struggled a lot socially sophomore year and all mm-hmm. that. And he said, that's your story there, is from going from a socially insecure mm-hmm. and like loud but still insecure sophomore to a guy who, I mean, he said was a leader in your class and mm-hmm. in your on campus and stuff like that. So that was kind of what I wrote about, and I guess it worked.
I joked with you and I learned that you got into Harvard that I asked him whether or not you were a diversity candidate for Harvard, and you laughed and you said that you thought you were. What did you mean when you agreed with me that you're a diversity candidate there?
They had a diversity essay and I wasn't exactly sure what to put for that. Do you fit into these certain categories or are you a minority? Can you talk about this? And I didn't know what to write about. So I was on a train ride and I looked on the Harvard Crimson about political diversity there, and they had a poll they had taken before the 2024 election, and they said Harvard is a mostly homogeneous community when it comes to politics. So I just put in my diversity essay. I'm a Republican. I would not call myself a Trump supporter, but I am still a Republican. The Crimson said that campus is mostly homogeneous. Diversity is the opposite of that. Therefore, as a Republican, I will support diversity at Harvard. And I just submitted it, and I guess that helped too.
I think it probably did. I'm a white Christian Southern conservative.
It's pretty much diversity.
You're a diversity candidate there. Yes, well done. Well, congratulations. And so how did you decide to go to Harvard? Because you had other good options as well.
It was, for me, between there and UVA. I really like UVA, and I'm from Virginia, so I've always kind of grown up watching that and seeing a lot of people achieve that. When it came down to it, I was still deciding, kind of similar to the Woodbury decision.
You like to put things off to the very end, don't you?
I sure do. So I was kind of still deciding the day before, and my parents had given me a lot of feedback and had said, like, we want you to at least consider Harvard. I know it seems like so different than Woodbury, but at least consider it. Put some good research into this. And I went and talked to Dr. Bosin, who, again, is my advisor, and he went to Yale. He would hate that I'm saying this on the podcast. He's not like a braggart about it. He and I were talking, and he said, as much as I know what you're talking about with the go, 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 never stop culture there, you just have to decide whether this is the right step out of your comfort zone at the right time. And so you might want to go to UVA, which seems a little bit more similar. And that's fine. That's a great school. They're both great schools. He just said, do you want to have the step out of your comfort zone now or later? And you just have to choose which, because you won't be living a good life if you're not taking a step out of your comfort zone at some point. By the end, I was really comfortable at Woodbury. I mean, I knew all the people here and the community is awesome. And I said, I don't think I'll know pretty much anyone at Harvard.
Right.
And I would know hundreds of people at UVA from home and camp and Woodbury mm-hmm. connections and stuff. So I said, I think that'd be a little bit more of a jump out of my comfort zone. And I decided to do it.
Well, it's going to be a great adventure. I look forward to hearing from you about how it goes. What are you hoping for in college?
I want to continue to grow as a writer. I want to study abroad and keep mm-hmm. working on Spanish and maybe another language. I just want to meet some cool people and kind of take advantage of cool classes that you can take in college that you can't take in high school, just since there's so many quirky classes that like meet the intersection of my interests in college that a high school, just no high school really has the resources to have.
As you look back on your Woodbury experience, what matters most to you about it?
I would point to one of the ways that I've grown, I guess. What matters most to me is the times in which I felt like I'd actually done something as a leader senior year, whether it be working with the freshmen on Dowd Finch or talking to a few guys who were thinking about not coming back to Woodbury. And then I think maybe the most like meaningful thing I can look back on was at senior shake, one of the guys who I'd been talking to, and he was thinking about it, he basically said, "You and Mac Edwards," huge shout out to Mac Edwards. He said, you guys caring was what made me want to come back.
And that's so great.
That was definitely really meaningful.
That's very meaningful and impactful. The audience most likely does not know that Morgan is a fantastic impressionist. He is an imitator extraordinaire. He was once at my table for seated meal, and he also got this perspective when he was in my American history class of the fun that we as Woodbury boys had imitating the headmaster when I was a kid at Woodbury. His name was Emmett Wright, and Emmett Wright always gave the same speeches whenever a boy was dismissed from Woodbury, and the speeches went something like this. "I regret to inform you that Morgan Jay has left the school. Earlier today, Morgan was smoking marijuana down by the river. I don't know why Morgan did it. I don't think Morgan knows why he did it. But the fact of the matter is that he did it. And we cannot condone that kind of behavior here at Woodbury Forest." Every speech was exactly like that. In my senior year, a boy got up and imitated that in front of the whole school, and it was a magical moment. And Morgan took the bait, and he returned the favor. And at the end of his junior year, he got up on stage and imitated me. Morgan, I don't know if you want to do the audience a favor and let them hear you imitate one of my such speeches, but you're welcome to give it a shot. And then we'll do some rapid fire imitations of other Woodbury mainstays on the faculty just to close down the podcast.
Morgan Jay, a sixth former from Alexandria, Virginia, has left the school for an honor offense. Yesterday evening, in an American history take-home essay, Morgan used ChatGPT. And after a successful and deliberate honor trial by the prefect board, a unanimous vote has concluded that Morgan has jeopardized his place in the school. Morgan was a boy previously in good standing, and therefore this comes as a shock to all of us. However, we must renew our commitment to the values that make us the Tiger Nation. Please leave quietly in reverence for Morgan and his family.
Well done, Morgan. Okay, your cross-country coach and former English teacher, Ben Hale.
And well, Byron, I told the guys on cross-country this. It's going to be a whole thing. I got to meet with you, and I told them everything can be solved with a good conversation. So, and I'm going to be late to practice because I'm having a conversation with Byron Holley, and we're going to solve the problem. Whatever it may be.
All right, so that's Coach Hale in conversation with you. He has a different kind of persona during the middle of a cross-country race. So what does that sound like when you're running and you're hearing Coach Hale exhort you on?
Yeah. Turn the lights over, yeah.
All right, good. Mr. Greg Jacobs.
Hi, hello, and welcome. I am Greg Jacobs, and I teach at the Woodbury Forest School, a boarding school for boys in Central Virginia. And today, on this AP Classroom video, I'll be talking about acceleration and centripetal motion.
Excellent. Drew Collier.
What are you doing? Why are you in your room? Stop. Go outside. Do something. Let's go. Peppa, come.
Excellent. Mr. Rivera.
Good morning, Byron. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast today. It's going to be very fun to talk about some of the theories I have, as well as some trips I have done. It's very fun.
Chris Holmes.
Well, hey, bub. I'm on here to talk about room inspection on Dowd Finch. I'm the dorm parent on Dowd Finch, and we have to have room inspection. It's important. And this room is not to the standards. I sent you four emails this morning at 5:55.
All right, Morgan Jay. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Been fantastic having you as a student here in the Tiger Nation. Welcome to the alumni community. Stay in good touch and let us know how we can continue to be helpful to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me on.
To everybody in the Tiger Nation, thanks for tuning in today. Go Tigers, and we'll check back in a little later in the summer.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Woodbury Podcast. We hope you found our discussion insightful and engaging. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, rating, or leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Stay tuned for more conversations in the future. And remember, the conversation doesn't have to end here. Connect with us on Woodbury Forest School social media, reach out with your questions or comments, and let's keep the dialogue going. Until next time, take care and go Tigers!